Governor Chinanda, Shri Adwaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur, Bhakti Vedanta Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath, Shri Mukunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya, Mathura Dham Ki Jaya, Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jaya, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya, Gangamayi Dhun Devi Ki Jaya, Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jaya, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jaya, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Bacharana Nivase Sisinivadi Bhaskatya Desatarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Stra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vikam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Dushakam Vitam Sha Vanchakalpa Chukrishta Kibasin Vyavata Padijanam Bhavani Vyavaishnavam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's August 1st, 2019 in Zagreb, Croatia, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 23. Ataiva deva mayaya nunam gatira gochara chetaso vachasas chapi bhutanam iti nishchaya. Atava, alternatively, deva, the Lord, Mayaya, energies, Nunam, very little, Gatihi, movement, Agochara, inconceivable, Chetasaha, either by the mind, Vachasaha, by words, Cha, or Api, also, Bhutanam, of all living beings, Iti, thus, Nishchayaha, concluded. Prabhupada's translation and purport. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Purport. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible, for everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti, or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. And still, he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. This doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and the material energy. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the diluting energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. Atava deva mayaya nunam gatir agochara chetaso vachasas chapi bhutanam iti nishchayaha. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. So, although Maharaj Parikshit has already stated in the previous verse that no one should identify the perpetrator, Still, one may ask, why does not a devotee identify Krishna as the perpetrator? In fact, we in ISKCON usually do exactly that. As Prabhupada wrote in the previous purport, in the case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God sent. But in case of loss or reverses, one becomes doubtful about how the Lord could be so unkind to his devotee as to put him in great difficulty. But my experience in ISKCON is that the devotees at least speak. Maybe they don't always feel in the heart, but at least with the mind and verbally, they see that Krishna is behind both the good and the bad. Whenever a devotee gets something amazing, like one of my friends from the UK, he was traveling from the United Kingdom to Australia for business, and he was waiting to board the plane, and he was thinking, I wonder what it would be like to fly in first class. And just at that moment, someone from the airline called him and said, the plane is overbooked. Would you mind if we moved you up to first class? And immediately we can understand, this is Krishna. We identify, this is Krishna. We don't think, oh, this is just the airline. Yes, everybody can understand this. I often tell the story of how I was looking in my closet and I was thinking that I wanted a new sari, and I thought exactly what kind of sari I wanted. And then I thought, oh, I will have to get it in India, it may be expensive, forget it. And I let the thought go. It was a very brief thought. And 3 days later, one devotee gave me a gift of exactly that sari, exactly, as if I had made a custom order. So immediately I could understand that it was Krishna. Of course, I also said thank you to the devotee who gave me the sari, but I recognized that she was not the actor, it was Krishna. And as Prabhupada said, that is very easy when it is good things, but even in difficult things, I see most of the devotees try to understand, at least, that it is Krishna. One time I was in Puerto Rico, I was giving the Sunday feast class, and at that time in my life, I had nothing really in the world at all. I mean, I had literally only $100. I had earned this $100 by helping my god sister in her business, which I did not enjoy doing at all. I was not doing it to make money. I was doing it to help her because one of her employees had left. But it was not work that I liked to do. And we had to drive all the way down the mountain and all the way up the mountain. It was a lot of austerity. So anyway, I had earned this $100, and it was literally all that I had. I was in a situation in life that materially was not so good. So anyway, I was giving the Sunday feast lecture, and I was speaking about how Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. And whatever Krishna does is his mercy. So you can understand what happened. I went back to my room. I had forgotten to lock my door. And Sunday feast means there are so many visitors. And somebody had stolen my $100. And immediately I could understand that that was Krishna. That I had been sitting on the Vyasasan talking about how we should be detached in gain and in loss. And so Krishna thought it was very funny. He said, okay, let us see how detached you are in loss. And I could understand that was Krishna. And we find many times the devotees will say, I'm getting purified, when there's some difficulty in life. If somebody insults us, if somebody spreads lies about us, if we lose our service, if we lose our marriage, something happens, somebody gets very sick, somebody gets injured, you will find the devotees will say, "This is Krishna," even if they can identify a perpetrator. So even, you know, some woman comes along and steals your husband, you might say, well, that woman, she is the perpetrator, or my husband is the perpetrator. But the devotee will also say, this is Krishna's mercy on me. Krishna is helping me in my spiritual life. Am I correct? Do devotees speak like this? Do they speak like this?
Some yes, some no.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes more difficult than other times. Just like Prabhupada said in yesterday's purport, that it's more difficult for the bad things. But still, the devotees try to do this. Yes, is that correct? At least they try. I remember many years ago, one devotee had come to me, and her husband had left her to become a renunciate. And she told me, she said, when I got married, my husband said to me, when I am 50, I am going to take vanaprastha, and I will marry you only under that condition. And she said, okay. But then on his 50th birthday, he simply left. He just left. And they had a big farm. They had a lot of responsibilities. All of a sudden, there was nobody to help her. And he wasn't communicating with her at all. Like, not an email, not a phone. He just left. So this was the first time I ever met her. It was maybe 1 week after this had happened. And she was completely hysterical. You all understand hysterical? She was just crying and crying. And I tried to speak some philosophy to her, but she couldn't hear me at all. She was just crying. And the only thing she could hear was, just keep chanting, it will be okay, Krishna's with you. But I did preach to her. I talked to her maybe for an hour. Then I saw her two years later in Mayapur. She had moved there and become a teacher of Shastra. And she was glowing. She was very, very happy. And she said to me, Urmila, it took me a year before I could accept what you said. But once I accepted it, I became happy and I saw that this was all Krishna's mercy on me. She says, my husband has also written me to apologize for how he had left. But my point is, even then, she could not immediately accept this is Krishna's mercy. But after some time, she could see this was really Krishna's mercy on me. She's now completely absorbed herself in teaching Shastra in the Dham. She's a very, very happy person. So the question is asked here, why doesn't Dharma the Bull just say, this is Krishna? Okay, if he doesn't want to identify Kali, who's pretty obvious to identify, he's standing right there with a stick, you know? It's not like sometimes with an automobile accident, we call it a hit and run. You know, a car hits somebody and then they drive away. But Kali didn't beat him and run away. He stayed there with the stick. So, all right, Dharma the Bull isn't identifying Kali because Dharma the Bull is a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. But why doesn't he identify Krishna? He can speak the truth. Right? Jiva Goswami Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on this verse, they say the devotees are expected to speak the truth. They're expected to say, this is Krishna. Huh? So why is he not doing so? And Maharaj Parikit is giving the bull an excuse. This action of Maharaj Parikit is very instructive for us. Whenever we find a devotee, because both Dharma the Bull and Maharaj Parikit are devotees, as Srila Prabhupada said in text 21 purport, they're at an equal level of knowledge. Of sagacity was the word that Prabhupada used. So when we see a devotee not acting at the highest level, generally the other devotees make some excuse for them. Just like one of my godbrothers wrote to Srila Prabhupada that he didn't have time to chant his 16 rounds because he was so busy taking care of the cows. And Prabhupada just wrote back to him and said, I can understand that because you are so busy with the cows, you don't have time to finish your rounds. Now, of course, Prabhupada has written in Chaitanya Charitamrita that chanting our 16 rounds is the most important instruction of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says that if we take a vow and we don't follow it, we're not even a human being, because a human being can keep their word of honor. So it wasn't that Srila Prabhupada just didn't care, and it wasn't that Srila Prabhupada was thinking, oh, it's okay. But when you love somebody, you make excuses for them. This is the way. Of course, sometimes on some things, Prabhupada would be very strict and say, if you do this, you will not make any spiritual advancement at all. The guru sometimes, the sadhu sometimes, has to be very cutting. But we find that many times that the saintly persons, they will say, all right, I understand. So Maharaj Prakrit is saying, I understand. You are not identifying Krishna because his energies are inconceivable. And therefore, maybe you're thinking, well, it wasn't directly Krishna, it was Krishna acting through his energies. Therefore, how can I identify Krishna? Because he has so many inconceivable energies. Of course, this particular point was refuted. There was one very great devotee who was commenting on Krishna's verse in the Bhagavad Gita. There was one very great devotee who was commenting on the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. And very interesting, Narayani, my god sister, pointed out to me that there's these two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's 245 and 923, that in the verse in the second chapter, Krishna says, Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan, don't worry about what you have and what you need, be fixed in the self. Of course, Jesus says something very similar, right? Don't worry about your clothing and your food. Just worry about God and everything else will be given to you. And then in the ninth chapter, Krishna says, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. Whatever you have, I will protect. Whatever you need, I will supply. And he says, Aham, I will do it personally. So this devotee was a little doubtful, as Dharma the Bull may be here, as Maharaj Prakrit is excusing Dharma the Bull. Well, you may be doubtful because Krishna has inconceivable energies. So this devotee was doubtful, and he thought, Krishna's not doing it directly. He's doing it through his energies. He's doing it through some agent. And it appears like that. When the person at the airline says, you can go up to first class, when the thief steals your $100, you're not seeing Krishna coming with his flute and his peacock feather and his shining yellow clothes walking in your room and taking the $100. Right? You're not seeing that Krishna's doing it. You're not seeing Krishna's coming to your farm and picking up your husband and carrying him away. You don't see Krishna behind the desk at the airport giving you a ticket for the first class section. So it looks like it's being done through some agent. And therefore it may look confusing. Is it really Krishna? Right? Is it really Krishna? So this devotee, he scratched out these words, Vaham Yaham, I am doing it. He took a pen. In those days, people had pens that you dipped into ink. Yeah? And they would scratch the paper. Our pens today, they make a little scratch in the paper, but not very deep. But these old pens would make a big scratch. And then he went out to take a bath. So while he was taking his bath at noontime, and then he would come home and take prasadam. So while he was gone, these two beautiful boys came to his house. And they were carrying, you see sometimes there's this pole that's carried a pole, a rod, a stick, and two people, they carry it on their shoulders, and in the middle there's a heavy bag. Yes? So there were these two boys, they had this big pole, this big rod, and in the middle was hanging this bag of food. And they came, knocked on the door, and this devotee's wife answered the door, "What is this?" "Your husband has sent us to bring you all this food." "My husband?" And she's looking at the food, very opulent. Vegetables and fruits and grains and beans and so many things. "My husband, he said he was taking a bath. He went to the market and he sent this food." "Yes, he sent us with this food." "So much money." "No, he sent us." Okay. She was very confused. And she's looking at these boys. One was dark, one was light. And she's thinking, these are very beautiful young boys. She's thinking, I have never seen boys so beautiful. And when they put down the basket of food and they're starting to leave, she saw that on their backs there was marks like someone had beaten them. And she said, "What happened to your back? It was fresh marks. It wasn't a scar. Like someone had just hit them." And they said, "Oh, my dear mother, your husband was beating us." "My husband was beating you?" "I've been married a long time. My husband does not beat people. I cannot believe this. And such delicate, beautiful boys as you? How is this possible?" "Oh, you please believe us. He has beaten us." She says, "This is not good. You wait here, and when my husband comes back, I will rebuke him for this behavior." "No, no, no, Ma. If we wait here, he may beat us again. We had better go right away." So they left. Then the husband came back and the wife was very angry. Sometimes we think the Vedic wife is always supposed to be like a little mouse, you know? "Yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu." But we find sometimes if the husband does something wrong, the wife can also become angry. She was angry. And she said, "What are you doing? Beating these boys?" "Beating what boys? What are you talking about?" And she tells him the whole story. He said, "What did the boys look like?" And she is describing, "Oh, they were incredibly beautiful. I have never seen such attractive people any time in my life. And one was dark, one was light. They were wearing nice jewelry. They didn't look like servant boys, like one would send on an errand like this. And their clothes were glowing," she was describing. And he started to cry. And he could understand. Actually, Krishna is coming directly. But we may become confused. So Maharaj Parikit is excusing Dharma and saying, "Hey, you know, Krishna has these inconceivable energies. So because of Krishna's energies, maybe you are a little confused and you are not able to speak the truth." And again, in the same way, when we are dealing with the other devotees, like when I was dealing with this lady, I could understand that she was bewildered, that she was in shock. You understand? It was such a shock how her husband had left her that she was so bewildered by Maya that she wasn't able to understand in that moment that this is Krishna. And in fact, Prabhupada is saying that here in the purport. I'm sorry, one problem with my speaking very slowly is you will feel sleepy. No, that's the problem. Because when I am speaking this slowly, it is very difficult to stay awake. It sounds like somebody is hypnotizing you. "Go to sleep. Go to sleep." So this is, you know, if somebody is going to hypnotize you, they will speak very slowly. So this is the downside. If I'm speaking slowly enough for the translation, then people will also fall asleep. You can't have both. It's hard to keep people awake and alert and sleep. So, I'm sorry. You could try standing up, maybe. I would not be offended if you stood up. I understand. So here Prabhupada is saying in the purport, in fact, that Dharma the Bull was bewildered. He said here he was bewildered by Kali himself. And after all, Kali is standing right there. You know, I mean, just like here we are in the temple and we try to keep out Kali. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. So we are trying to keep Kali far away, because as we will see in this story, those are the places where Kali can live. Those places and gold. Yeah? But we also go out. We don't just stay in the temple. Prabhupada says this is not our dharma, just to have a peaceful, secluded life. We go out. We go out to work. We go out to have a business. We go out to preach. And we want to transform the world. We would like that everyone in the world would become devotees. Yes? Or at least a good portion of people. So to do this, those who are already devotees, they need to work in the world. We want to have devotees who are ideal doctors, ideal business people. We would love it if the presidents and prime ministers of the world were devotees. Yes? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah? If we could have Croatia and Slovenia and Italy and Russia and America all run by devotees of Krishna, that would be very nice.
We have one in parliament.
Yes, I know. We have one in our parliament also.
Yes, we know.
Yes. And then I know also devotees who have taken positions as, you know, lesser, like some mayor of a little town or something like that. But that means one has to go out in the world. If we want high court judges wearing tilak, if we want devotees running companies and hospitals and schools, we have to go out in the world. And if we're going to sell books and distribute prasadam, we have to go out in the world. And in the world, there is Kali. Yes, there's Kali. Everywhere you go, there is meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, what John Mill saw, we are seeing constantly when we go out. Am I correct? It's all over the place. And as soon as Kali is standing right next to us like that, we may become confused. That's one of the difficulties. And not only that, Prabhupada says here, the whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy. So Mayadevi is taking this energy of Kali and magnifying it, magnifying it, magnifying it, magnifying it. So we become confused. And we don't see that Krishna is there. We don't see that behind everything is Krishna. We just see an immediate cause. Or we just don't understand what's going on. So one definition of the word secular means, like today we have in most of our countries what we call a secular state, a non-religious state. One meaning of the word secular is when we don't interpret our lives, we don't interpret history in general, current events, in light of Krishna. We see things superficially. There's a storm, there's an airplane crash, there's a good economy, whatever is happening, we just see these things superficially. We're not able to understand that behind everything is the Supreme Lord. Right? Sutre mani gana iva. Underneath the pearls, there's a thread. If someone is wearing a string of pearls, and how do the pearls stay in a line? Because under them there is a thread, but we don't see the thread. So secular vision means we don't see the thread. We don't understand in our own lives how there is Krishna, We don't understand in the lives of others how there is Krishna. We don't understand how Krishna is acting in the world. We become confused. And if someone says, why is this happening? We just say, I don't know. Like Dharma the Bull. He says, well, some philosophers say this and other philosophers say that. And we just don't know why anything's happening. So it is our responsibility that we should see Krishna behind everything. The so-called good and the so-called bad. For ourselves and for others. What does Krishna want from me in this situation? How does he want me to respond? Why is Krishna putting me in this situation? I was recently put into, well, in the last year, I was put into a very awkward and difficult situation. And I was thinking, why is Krishna putting me in this situation? What does he want from me? It would have been very easy to blame the other people involved and say, well, you made this decision and you made that decision and you made this decision. And because of that, I am now in difficulty because of your decisions. And you could have said that. But I tried to look at it, ultimately, this is Krishna. What does he want? How does he want me to respond? What does he want me to learn? How does he want me to treat people? We should try to help others to come to this position, even if they can't hear us in the moment. I was very struck by how this devotee said to me, Urmila, when I was hysterically crying, I couldn't hear you, but I remembered what you said. And a year later, I was able to hear what you had told me. It came back up and I said, oh, that is actually right. So to be able to help others and to be able to help ourselves. So how will we do this? Because really this is what we want. We want to be able to see Krishna everywhere. Isn't that what we want? Yes? Everybody want that?
Yes.
You're not sure? Are you sure? Okay. It's like, I don't know. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva vidyeshu vilokayanti yam shaima sundaram achintya guna sarupam. We would like to see Krishna in every atom. We'd like to see Krishna in the sunshine, in the trees, in the other devotees, in our prasadam, in the Hare Krishna mantra, in the deity, everywhere. That's what we would like to do. And as sadhakas, sadhaka means we are practicing. So it means to make an effort. How can I see Krishna here? Either directly in the Hare Krishna mantra, the deities, or Sutra Manigana Iva, as the thread under the pearls of my life, in the good things and in the bad things. So we can do that positively, by studying the Shastra, by chanting, and so forth, but also negatively by keeping ourselves free of the influence of Kali and Maya. Again, this is not easy in 2019. You know, even if you go to India, you go to Vrindavan, you go to Mayapur, you go up to the Himalayas, Kali has his hands everywhere. This is just a fact. You know, you go to Radhakund, there's still somebody there who's an agent of Kali. I guarantee you. You know, and all you have to have is your phone and you can contact all the agents of Kali very easily with one touch. So we need to keep ourselves separate from the influence of the material energy. Now, how do we do that? So Krishna explains this very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter. And it's fascinating, it's always fascinated me, how Krishna says at the beginning of the 14th chapter, that now I'm going to give you knowledge better than anything I have given before. What does this mean? Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us that the main chapters about bhakti are 7 through 12. And that 13 through 18 is mostly about gyan. So how is it in chapter 14? What is the title of chapter 14? Modes of material nature. So how is it that in chapter 14, the modes of material nature, is Krishna giving us higher knowledge than he gave in chapter 12? When he had the essence of bhakti, or in chapter 10, where there is the chatur sloka of the Bhagavad Gita? The end of chapter 9, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto? Higher than that? How is that possible? But there's some very important verses in chapter 14 where Krishna talks about how to be free from the influence of the material energy. Because Arjuna asks him this question. He says, all right, you've described the modes of nature. Of course, in chapter 14, Krishna's describing them in a very general way. He'll be very specific in chapters 17 and 18. And Arjuna says, what are the symptoms by which you can tell a person who is free from the modes of material nature, and what is the process? So Krishna gives this extraordinary verse. He says, those who do not hate illumination, attachment, or delusion when they appear. Those who do not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they appear, or long for them when they disappear, remaining neutral, knowing that the modes alone are active. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he makes the point that as long as we have a material body and mind, which will be until the moment we die, that these modes of nature are going to affect our body and mind. Many times we think that as I become advanced in Krishna consciousness, it means my body and mind will not be affected by the modes. But that is not the fact. What we might be doing is allowing ourselves to be affected by the modes, thinking that, well, after some time, it will simply go away. That is not true. What we have to do is remain neutral. Just like when we go out in the world for work or preaching or to shop for the deities, we were talking the other day how Prabhupada in his purport to 12.2 says we can be in samadhi when we are shopping for the deities. Yes? And there is Kali. There it is. In the store where we are shopping, there is some dead animal. Yes? It is there. There is some alcohol in the shop. There is some cigarettes. There are some people not properly dressed and not behaving properly. It is there. But we remain neutral. We just focus, oh, I am buying tomatoes. We don't even pay attention to these other things. Just like I learned, it is not a very good idea to go shopping when one is fasting. Have you ever gone shopping when you are fasting? It is much more difficult to remain neutral. Yes? Especially if the store has a bake shop inside of it. So you go to the hypermarket, the supermarket, to buy some fruits and vegetables for the Lord, and they're also selling cakes and cookies. Yes, they do this here in Croatia also. So normally you don't even see. But if you're fasting, then your mind goes, oh, look at that cake. And you have to be like the horse that puts on the blinders, you know? But it's the same within our own body, that these waves of illumination, attachment, and delusion, they come into our own bodies also. It's not only when we go out in the world also is flowing through us. And just like we can go and we can be neutral, we have to also be neutral to what's happening in our own bodies and mind. Oh, there is anger entering me. Oh, there is fear. Oh, there is lust. Oh, there is greed. But we have nothing to do with this, like the river is flowing into the ocean. I used to spend time in Hawaii, and we would go to this one place by the beach where a river was coming from the mountains into the ocean. And there was a place, they're joining together. But the ocean is not getting bigger or smaller from this river. It is staying the ocean. So as the modes go through our body and mind, we remain as the ocean. We can think of it like if you go to the sea, there may be some wave going over you, but you remain. The wave goes up and it goes down, and you simply remain like that. So of course this discipline of becoming neutral to the modes of nature is there even in the impersonal schools. This is not only in bhakti, but in any form of spirituality or religion. This concept of maintaining a position that I am the observer is there. But there's something additional. When Krishna's answering Arjuna's question, how? He says, mam chayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitam brahmabhuyaya kalpita. Just like it is very difficult for me to avoid looking at the cakes if I am fasting while I am shopping. But if my belly is full, it is very easy. If my belly is full, there is no difficulty at all. I have not even one speck of an interest in these things. Yes, everybody has experienced this? It's such a simple thing. If we are filled with Krishna, then being neutral to the modes of nature is very easy. And if we are hungry, it is very difficult. If we are hungry, then it requires willpower, determination, discipline. And to maintain that lifelong is almost impossible. Even great yogis like Vishwamitra could not maintain this kind of thing. But if we are filled with Krishna, then it is very easy to say, these are the modes of nature, I have nothing to do with them. So in the good things in life, in the bad things in life, fill ourselves with Krishna. And if we feel ourselves going to the modes of nature, going to lust, anger, greed, fear, whatever, confusion, loneliness, helplessness, depression, whatever it may be, fill ourselves with Krishna. Say, the problem is that I'm fasting. That's the problem. And as soon as I am filled with Krishna, I will be okay. This may require that we stop and breathe and pick up the Bhagavatam, pick up our beads, pick up a mridanga. Something where we again connect. It's Krishna, it's Krishna, it's Krishna, it's Krishna, it's Krishna. So thank you very much. Questions, comments? Was this good? Was I the right speed?
It was the right speed. You found the speed which is on top of my ability to translate.
That was the most difficult.
No, this was, I could do it, but I said it was on the top of my...
You had to use your top ability.
Yes.
If I spoke any slower, I would have fallen asleep also.
No, I have noticed that it is slower than yesterday.
Yes.
I have noticed it.
I went half yesterday's.
Listening to and understanding, you can speak fast, no problem. But when I need to find the Croatian words and everything.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes I understand what you say, but I don't find Croatian words.
How was the vocabulary? Vocabulary was better. Okay, good. I tried to make simpler vocabulary also.
But how it was translation, you can ask them, not me.
How was the translation? Was it good? Okay, very good. So, questions or comments? Yes?
Can I ask in Croatian?
Of course, of course. Do we have a wandering microphone? Yes, that would be good.
Thank you very much for your teaching. I can accept and understand that that in all situations we should feel with Krishna, and in this way we see everything what happened to us as Krishna. But I cannot understand and I cannot at all accept that everything what comes to us is really Krishna personally. Although you mentioned few examples where Krishna shows that he came personally. Because I cannot accept, because Krishna delegate some tasks to his devotees. Devotees have personalities, and sometimes we can see that these devotees who are representatives of Krishna can also do like persons and make some things which are not maybe perfect. And sometimes even Krishna himself comes to correct deeds of his devotees. We have one example come to my mind when Krishna, Sri Vishnu comes in the story of Jayavijaya to excuse actually his devotees. So we can see ultimately everything is Krishna, but I cannot accept that everything what happens in especially in material world under the laws of denomination is Krishna personally.
Well, what you are saying is very useful for our own foolishness. If I do something foolish, I should not say to you, well, it wasn't me, it was Krishna. That is what Kamsa did. When Kamsa killed the children, he said, well, it was not really me killing your children. So that we should not do. Just like I can't remember if it was a car accident or people drowning in the Ganga, where the devotee said, oh, this was Krishna's mercy, and Prabhupada said, no, it was your foolishness. So we should definitely not misuse this philosophy if we are the perpetrator. If I do something foolish, I should take responsibility for it. I don't say that it's, well, I have no responsibility. And when it comes to doing good things with myself as the actor, it is a fact, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, that the mercy of the Lord follows the mercy of the devotees. So if I choose to give Krishna consciousness to someone, then Krishna may do that because I have made that choice. Krishna may let Krishna consciousness flow through me to that person, whereas otherwise Krishna would have remained neutral. So in the case of giving Krishna consciousness to others, it is a definite fact that that is also done by the devotee. That is a fact. That is not within the laws of nature or the modes of nature at all. That is above the modes of nature. If we're talking about bhakti, the devotee is a doer. The devotee is an actor. And the devotee can change people's destiny. Karmically, no. But through bhakti, yes. If we go out and we give someone prasadam, we give someone a book, we help somebody, then Krishna will say, oh, you, my devotee, you desired this, therefore it will come through you. That is a fact. Now, when it comes to anything other than that, when it comes to just the actions in this world, even if somebody is doing something foolish, why would it happen to me? I mean, this is what I was thinking in this past year. Some people did something that wasn't so pleasant, and it ended up affecting me. And I was thinking, why me? What is there for me in this? That does not excuse that these devotees did something foolish. They did. And it's interesting because sometimes I would say to somebody, well, I'm trying to see Krishna in it. And they would say, well, does that mean you are excusing what this person did wrong? And I said, no, I'm not excusing it at all. It was wrong. But still I see Krishna in it. Just to give you a very simple example. So about, I think it was last year when I was traveling, I came to an airport and there was nobody to get me. The temple president had sent them to the wrong airport. And it was interesting because I was trying to be more relaxed in life. I was trying not to be so controlling. So usually before I go someplace, I contact the person in charge and I give them again, this is my arrival information. So I didn't do that because I thought, I'm going to try to not be so controlling. So I hadn't resent the information. And the temple president sent the man to the wrong airport. So I get there, nobody's there. And I contact the temple president, and he says, well, you can take a train, and we'll pay for the train, or else you can wait for that devotee to come from the other airport. It will be 1.5 hours. I said, what would you rather do? He said, I'd rather have the devotee come. It will be cheaper. I said, okay. So I waited 1.5 hours. So whose foolishness was this? Was it my foolishness that I didn't send the arrival information the day before? I took it like that, and now I've gone back to that, to my old habit. Was it the foolishness of the temple president? He had my information. He just had received it 2 weeks before, so he had it. But still, I took it as Krishna. Whether it was my foolishness, his foolishness, both of our foolishness, I still, okay. Krishna's giving me some time to sit and read the Bhagavatam and to learn to be more responsible in the future. I could have taken it as just his foolishness. I could have said, what an irresponsible person. He had the information. Why doesn't he look instead of guessing? And it wasn't just an inconvenience for me. The driver was not happy at all. Actually, the driver was more upset than I was. So I could take it like that. But still, Krishna allowed it to happen to me. Without Krishna's being involved with that, you know, matasmatir gyanam apohanamcha, Krishna could have given memory to the temple president, hey, maybe you should look it up. Now, he allows it. Without him allowing it, nothing can happen. If we say that something can happen without him allowing it, then we are saying that the universe is unfair. My understanding of the law of karma is I can try to hurt you, but if it's not what you're, if you're not supposed to be hurt, it won't work. And I can try to help you, and if you're not supposed to be helped, it won't work. And we've all experienced this. I've tried to help people and been a complete failure. In fact, this just happened to me. I have some friends who are going to be traveling, and they asked me if I could find some devotees for them to stay with. I know like 15 people in that area. Not one of them could do it. Not 15 people. Not nobody. I failed. I tried to help them and I failed. Sometimes people try to help me and they fail. Sometimes people try to hurt me and they fail. Has this happened? Have you had somebody try to do harm to you and they were not able to? That has happened to me also. So it's not just that somebody tries to hurt me or somebody tries to help me. Krishna has to allow. He has to say, yes, you can do that. That means ultimately he is doing it. He's using others to do what he wants to happen. He can stop anything. I've had people really try to help me and it didn't work, or really try to hurt me and it didn't work. You know, so they're not independent actors. It's just not a fact. You know, I just see it in my practical life. And again, I see it for myself. I can try to do something for somebody else, and I'm not the only cause. I'm not an independent cause. And if Krishna wants something good or bad to happen to us, he doesn't need an agent at all. He doesn't need to have anybody else do anything. I mean, well, okay, we are personalists. And as, again, in terms of giving bhakti, yes, that devotee is the agent of that. I mean, we're also personalists in the sense that we're grateful to the people who help us, even though we see it's Krishna. It's not that we're not grateful. And if somebody hurts us, we may have them put in jail. We don't just say, put Krishna in jail. You know, that's, but we still see, how is Krishna behind this? That Krishna is doing this ultimately for some, he wants something from me. But yes, we also, it's not that if somebody steals your money, you don't want to put them in jail. They may have to go to jail. But still, you see, Krishna has arranged this for me, for something with me. Is that okay? Anybody else? So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, keep jaya.